News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Good morning, I'm Murray Wood, sitting in for John Gormley. Thank you for being here, wherever you are across Saskatchewan. This is not at the top of the to-do list, I'm sure, for Justin Trudeau, who, by the way, will be in Saskatchewan tomorrow. He's heading up to La Loche to meet with people in that community after last week's horrific shootings. But at any rate, Justin Trudeau did commit to move on this quickly, a promise he's probably going to find a bit difficult. Legalization of marijuana. What that would involve, how it would work, where it would be sold, a lot of questions to be addressed and a number of concerns to be addressed as well. Now, watching all of this very closely is not just your stoner buddy who, you know, let's face it, all he's watching closely is probably his hand or some goldfish swimming about in a tank. Big business is watching closely. There is a new breed of marijuana grower and seller. They work out of offices, they wear suits, and they deal in very large and completely legal transactions, like my next guest, Don Robinson. Left a long career in the food service industry to start up a company that he is based out of Oregon. He is a hard-headed capitalist who sees the ground floor of the next big thing. Joins me in the line, Don Robinson. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning, Murray. How are you? How are things in Saskatoon?
Very good this morning. Very warm, actually. We're quite happy about it.
That's good. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. Now you're in Oregon, even though you spent most of your career in Canada, but you've decided to move to Oregon. I mean, I'm interested in hearing your story. What led you? I mean, you were CEO of Kara Operations. You were a CEO with Mars, you know, the Mars bars, 30 years in the food business. And now you've decided to start up this company, Golden Leaf, and you're based out of Oregon. Tell us your story.
There's just so many benefits of legalizing marijuana. But the most important being, you know, mankind having access to this wonderful medicine. And there are so many anecdotal stories about how cannabis has improved lives, whether it's all the way from HIV to glaucoma to epilepsy, Tourette's, stress, anxiety, sleep disorder. It's just got so many wonderful healing properties. And, you know, so when I started to see the industry open up, basically a global industry startup, it's decriminalizing and legalizing all around the globe, I thought it would be a wonderful opportunity to take my big business experience and big business best practices from the food industry and basically apply it to cannabis, because at the end of the day, what we're doing at Golden Leaf is manufacturing a range of oils and edible products that are consumed by you. And so that's what we're trying to do, bring big business best practice to cannabis so that we build a strong, healthy, regulated industry in Oregon and now Washington State.
Right.
So that's what we're doing.
Right. You just signed a deal recently with a firm in Washington State to expand your business there.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, legalization in the U.S. is happening at breakneck speed. There's 23 states that have some kind of decriminalization program already in play. Importantly, on the ballot for the election, the 216, are another 8 more states. Critically, California, which is really predicted to pass and become a recreational state, and Florida, which is predicted to pass and become a medicinal state. And if California and Florida go, those will really be the tipping point, I think, because you'll have well north of 50%. Of Americans living in legalized cannabis states.
Don Robinson is the head of Golden Leaf Holdings. As I said, the former CEO of companies like Kara Operations, the food services company, worked with Mars Bars, and decided he saw this opportunity. I'm curious, what do your former colleagues and friends think about you moving into an industry that a lot of people perhaps still equate with, you know, Cheech and Chong?
Yeah. And, you know, the industry certainly has that stigma. We're doing everything we can do to break it down because there are so many positives of it being decriminalized, less policing, the cost which can be redirected to better use in society, less pressure in the prison system, as a source of state tax, which can help society in so many ways, better product quality and safety in the legal market versus the black market, if you like, and less access by youth, because in a legalized situation, access by youth to marijuana and is much more controlled.
Don, are you okay if people have questions about big business moving into marijuana? Are you okay to take calls from listeners?
Sure.
Okay. Phone lines are open if you'd like to talk to Don. If you have questions, 1-877-332-8255. So, based out of Oregon, but recently began trading on the Canadian Securities Exchange. Obviously, you must be looking towards Canada in the near future.
Yes, we are. You know, the Canadian market became much more interesting with Trudeau's promise to recreationalize, because then the market has some size. In the medicinal market, it's quite a small market. To contrast that, there's maybe 750,000 to 60,000 patients. In the state of Oregon, with legalization, we've got almost 500,000 patients, so much, much bigger. And Washington is twice as big as Oregon, so when you put all of that together, you're going to have a market of $2.5 billion and almost 1.4 million consumers in Washington and the state of Oregon, which is a lot bigger than Canada. But Canada now, with recreation coming, you know, you're generally 10 to 13% of the population of any given country are marijuana users. So that would be 3.5 to 4 million consumers, which is a sizable market. And so, yes, we are in discussions with the idea of entering Canada and becoming a North American cannabis player. And we're about to be listed on the New York Exchange, and we should be trading in 10 days. So we'll be co-listed in Canada and the U.S.
Well, as I understand it, you're already the largest public marijuana company trading in Canada, even though you're not actually operating here.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, but you're making that move in anticipation. So you seem pretty, I was going to say high in the future, but that'd be too easy a pun. You seem pretty bullish on the future of.
I can also say marijuana is growing like a weed.
Yeah. But you seem very bullish on marijuana as a business opportunity.
Yeah, but it's a societal opportunity as well. I mean, I don't know how much you know about the anecdotal evidence supporting how cannabis improves lives, but it's staggering. And the issue has been medical research into cannabis has been illegal in the U.S. until recently. Obama administration, about 6 months ago, has now opened the doors and allowed medical research into cannabis. And I think, you know, as medical research starts pointing out the benefits of cannabis in improving lives, I think, you know, change will just come. You know, this cannabis has been around for 10,000 years. It's just been illegal for 80. And I think mankind's better off with, legalized cannabis as opposed to an industry which is a black market industry. It's been around for a long time. We're just converting it to a legal industry.
Don Robinson, stay with me, won't you, please? I'm going to take a quick break, come back with Don Robinson. Heads up, Golden Leaf Holdings, now the largest publicly traded company in Canada that deals in marijuana, even though it doesn't have any business base here. But he's looking towards Canada, given Justin Trudeau's promise, with great anticipation. Bullish on the future of marijuana as a business. He thinks there's also societal benefits. I know not everybody agrees with this. You may have questions for Don. The phone lines are open to you at 1-877-332-8255. Text 306-306. I'm Murray Wood, and for John Gormley, this is News Talk 650 CKOM 980 CJME. I'm curious, does this make you feel more or less confident about the prospect of it happening successfully in Canada, that is to say the legalization of marijuana? Phone lines are open at 1-877-332-8255, text 306-306. Now, speaking about this, with my guest this morning, Don Robinson, a longtime CEO with in the food industry with Cara Foods, for instance, which provides food services to airlines and all sorts of different industries, also with Mars and Mars Bars Company, wants to bring the best of big business practices to the marijuana sector. And Gold Leaf has just gone public in Canada and is now the largest company operating in Canada, even largest public marijuana trading in Canada, even though it's not doing business in Canada yet. But Don Robinson is looking forward, thinking that it certainly will be. Just before we go back to the conversation, Don, Jesse in Saskatoon has a question for you. Go ahead, Jesse.
Yeah, Don, I'm just curious with, you know, the federal regulations that marijuana is still a Schedule 1 drug in the U.S. In Canada, Canada definitely has those hurdles too, being a G7 nation, and with the United Nations seeing marijuana as a Schedule 1 drug. Do you think that'll impend any way the legalization of marijuana?
I think that it'll get rescheduled. You've got so much pressure in the U.S. to have it legalized. I mean, 58% of Americans think it should be fully legalized. 83% of Americans think doctors should be prescribing it. I think that change is coming, and I mentioned earlier to Murray that, you know, there's 23 states that have some kind of decriminalization now, and there's eight more on the ballot in 2016, this election coming up in November, critically California and Florida. I think if those two states go legal, that you're past the tipping point, and that, you know, full deregulation will accelerate, and we'll see that, you know, I can't predict that, of course, but, you know, 3 to 5 year time frame.
You talked about, you know, there are, in many cases yet unproven, but lots of really interesting research underway about the potential health benefits of marijuana. What about, you know, I will hear people say, what about the downside? The argument is that if marijuana is legalized, it's going to become, first of all, it'll be an inducement. People will feel encouraged to smoke marijuana, and that it will be easier for kids to get their hands on it.
Yeah, in a legalized situation, it will be harder for kids to get a handle, a hold of it, because it will be controlled. It will be like alcohol. You know, kids, youth can have pretty much unlimited access to marijuana in the current state. And that I think with, you know, decriminalization and regulation and control, that youth access will be controlled. And that's important because, you know, there are links to the impact of marijuana usage on the developing brain, and youth should not use marijuana.
All right.
So in terms of the other downsides, there's been no known overdose death by marijuana ever, and it is not addictive. And, you know, the whole gateway theory about, well, you know, you start with alcohol, then you end up with marijuana, and then you end up with going up the scale, just does not bear any truth to it.
Now, I've interviewed addiction specialists on this. I mean, they say there's no causality. And in fact, you know, if in fact that were true, because Canada has had a fairly high rate of marijuana consumption, you would think then that they would also have a fairly high rate of more hard drug consumption. And that just hasn't, that correlation hasn't happened. So
that's correct.
I'm curious, though, what's the experience in Oregon and certainly in Washington State or Colorado that Canada should learn from if it's going to move forward with this?
At the end of the day, to make the industry healthy, you need to have prices lower, so that the illegal black market activity is diminished. It's only when price is lower in the legalized market than it is in the black market that you'll see that occur. And that's really important because you end up with a stronger industry, better products, better quality. What was the rest of that question?
Well, just wondering about what Canada should be learning from in regards to states like Oregon or Colorado.
Yeah.
So in terms of moving forward.
Back to big business approach. You know, you'll get prices the lowest by applying big business approaches to cannabis, because the inefficiency in the supply chain will be removed. It'll be grown more efficiently on bigger farms and processed by bigger processors, applying basically food technology to the cannabis space and the manufacture of oils and edible products.
Mm.
So, you know, I would, if I was trying to encourage the Canadian government to do anything, I would encourage full market competition, make it highly regulated, and have a, you know, food grade standard applied to the industry.
All right. So as a company that's doing this, you must have concerns then when you hear suggestions from, say, the Premier of Ontario that this should be sold through existing Crown liquor stores.
Yeah, no, I've heard that, and I've also heard drug stores. Both of, I think, which would represent a step in the right direction, given what's currently available when it's, you know, marijuana is mailed in the Canadian Post.
What you mentioned, of course, it was only recently the research was allowed to be done in the States, and one of the arguments was for years there's no research to support this, but no research was allowed by law in the U.S. So a lot of research and development was done in Israel, where, in fact, the scientist, I read an article last year in National Geographic about how he was the first to start saying, well, how do you, what does marijuana do, and how does it work in the body, and what are the possible benefits? So So Israel is where your company has its R&D based out of. What sort of R&D are you doing?
A wide range of sort of different approaches, all the way from, you know, working on the development of specific strains to alleviate specific ailments. In your body, there's a cannabinoid system that acts as receptors to the cannabinoids that come to your body from cannabis. And in cannabis, there's up to 58 different cannabinoids that interact with your body. And to that extent, you can't, the future really is about having specific strains of cannabis used to treat specific ailments. So that's one. The other approach is how can we grow cannabis faster with less water, no pesticides, organic, and less energy and less labor, which, you know, would then give you a cost advantage. We're also working on, you know, mass breeding of cannabis. I mean, at the moment, when the plant dies, it dies. And to grow a new plant, you need to take a cutting and graft it onto a current plant. But there is work being done in terms of how it could be mass produced so that you would lower costs and eliminate labor.
Do you see Golden Leaf Holdings as being the sort of company where you wanted to get it to a certain point and then be ready for a takeover?
Yeah, that's hard to say. You know, when federal deregulation does occur, I think there'll be massive consolidation in the industry. I think that, you know, big tobacco, big pharma, big food, big alcohol are all looking at this space. And so, you know, this is really day one. In cannabis is where we are, and it's moving quickly and rapidly.
Okay, almost out of time. I want to quickly bring in listener Blair. He has a question for you. Go ahead, Blair.
Hi. I'm wondering what your motivation for this is. Are you a guy that's kind of dabbled in pot for your childhood years, or you've been kind of really interested in this for 15 or 20 years, or are you a corporate guy that sees a big opportunity to become the corporate bigwig in Canada?
A bit of all of that. Clearly, I believe that applying corporate best business practice to cannabis is a way to go because you'll end up with the healthiest, strongest industry. I didn't know anything about cannabis until around 2 years ago. And a friend of mine, his son was the captain of the Canadian rugby team, doing his MBA in Cambridge. And considering his professional rugby career in Europe, he sustained a career-ending injury in a game, spent 3 years in bed, couldn't get out on a variety of pharmaceuticals. And somebody suggested he try cannabis. He didn't know much about cannabis, given he was an elite athlete. He tried it, got out of bed, and has been healthy and active ever since. And then I started to understand more and more the anecdotal stories about the relief that cannabis provides for human life. And that became a large motivation as well. I mean, I just think that the power of this wonder medicine, natural, should be unleashed.
All right, Don Robinson, we're going to have to leave it there. Interesting conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Great. All the best, Murray. Thanks.
Don Robinson, former CEO of Cara Foods, now a CEO of Golden Leaf Holdings. It is the largest publicly traded marijuana company in Canada and looking to move into this country if and when Justin Trudeau makes good on that promise. They're ready. What do you think about that? Do you think does it make you more or less comfortable to think that the corporate sector may be involved in marijuana production? This is News Talk Radio. Good morning, I'm Murray Wood, in for John Gormley. Interesting conversation with Don Robinson. Over 30 years in the food industry, he was the CEO of Cara Holdings. This is the company that supplies food services to, well, airlines, for instance, the meal you get on an airline in many cases, a lot of restaurants. Cara is a huge company. He was the CEO. He was also a CEO with Mars, you know, the candy bars and so on and so forth. Pretty hard-nosed business guy. And he says a couple of years ago, he got interested in marijuana as a business opportunity. He thinks this is the ground floor. He started up Golden Leaf Holdings Limited to, he says, bring the best of big business practices to marijuana. So he says it's a marriage of industry experts who don't have any corporate experience with corporate gray hair adult supervision, people like him, which he says is a pretty critical marriage. He's 61 years old. He started up Golden Leaf. They recently went public in Canada. It is apparently the largest publicly traded marijuana company in Canada, even though it doesn't operate here, but they think they will be because Justin Trudeau promised it in the last election and has said that this is a priority, legalization of marijuana. So his company, it's interesting, Golden Leaf Holdings, does a lot of work in oils and edibles and so forth. It's looking to expand. They recently moved from Oregon into Washington. He thinks that it's interesting as well. He has a lot of the people on his management team come from companies like Disney, Goldman Sachs, Walmart. And they're looking at this as, he says, this is the next big thing. Now, you may think legalization is overdue. You may think it's the devil's instrument. You may fall somewhere in between. Presumably it's coming because the Prime Minister was elected on this being one of his platforms and he's said he's committed to it. I think it's going to be harder to implement than they think. But here's the question to you. Big business is poised to move into the legal marijuana market. I mean, it already is in the States. And it's fascinating. You watch some of the companies that operate in the States. And so I asked them the question about being poised for a takeover. There are young entrepreneurs who are starting up companies in the States, getting licenses to grow or distribute marijuana, medicinal marijuana, and now in places like Colorado recreationally. Their business model is based on, within a certain amount of time, they fully expect that big tobacco, big alcohol, big food, one of the big companies that you're familiar with, the brand names, are going to buy them for a huge profit. It's business to them. So, knowing that, does this make you feel more or less confident about the prospect of marijuana legalization happening in Canada? Phone lines are open, 1-877-332-8255, text 306-306. You may say it makes you more confident because these are businesses that, like distillers or brewers or pharmaceutical companies, have a responsibility to shareholders, in addition to the public, to be responsible and accountable, to be a good corporate citizen. It's good business. Or you may say it makes you less confident because you may feel if big business is allowed to run marijuana effectively, that it's going to have inordinate influence with government, for instance, when it comes to regulations. Or maybe there are other reasons. The phone lines are open to you at 1-877-332-8255, text 306-306. Big business poised to move into the legal marijuana market if and when it comes to Canada. Does this make you feel more or less confident about the prospect of it happening? And by the way, they look at Canada and see a very potentially big market, but it's not the only one. Don Robinson talked about 23 states that now have either legalization or some form of decriminalization, and 8 more that will have it on the ballot this November when the presidential elections are held, including California and Florida. And if California and Florida approve it, there are some huge business opportunities. On a business model, he says 10 to 13% of the population consumes it recreationally. Pretty much generally across the board. That's in addition to the medical marijuana, which they're also involved in with their oils and so forth. And now they're looking at Canada, a population of 35 million, and thinking that it may have potential as well. Do you think big business being poised to move in, again, does this make you more or less confident about the prospect of it happening successfully in Canada? Melissa says, I'm a heavy equipment operator. In my industry, it's scary to think of marijuana use at the job. Are there or will there be restrictions for industries like mine? I'd be amazed if there aren't already. As far as I know, job sites have some pretty strict rules on marijuana. In fact, when you talk to people who work in the industry, in health and safety and occupational health and safety, one of the challenges is, and this is the same thing when it comes to people driving. You can have the active component from marijuana in your system without being impaired. It could be from 3 days ago. So you smoked a joint 3 days ago, you're not impaired. You might have done, and this is my understanding from these people, that you might have done something like cocaine last night and be wiped out, but won't show up as easily. Now you might ask which one is worse. I don't know. Lori in Regina. Big business poised to move into the legal marijuana market. Does this make you feel more or less confident about the prospect of it happening successfully here?
Hi, Murray. I'm Colleen. I'm actually one of these medical marijuana patients that affected not so much by the recreational use of it, but definitely the medical end. So that's where I wanted to speak from. I fully support having kind of big companies coming in and providing some regulation and some research into the industry. For myself, I can speak medically. I know that in discussion with some of my other physicians, we've tried a lot of other things, and I have their full support in the in my use of it as sort of the only thing that is a viable option for treatment for me. And my problem is due to cancer treatment. So, but the thing that I do find is a lack of information, a lack of research. Most of my experience has been trial and error in terms of strains and what works and how I react to different products and everything else. So I don't find that the government is very supportive in providing the research and that kind of information, where I think that having some of these larger companies come in, they will provide the funding for that, so our government doesn't have to pick up the slack in that department.
Well, I know there's research being done, and there's a National Geographic article on this last year that you should find and read it. So it was pretty interesting in terms of the potential applications, and right now that's largely what it is. If you don't mind, Lori, tell me a bit about your story. You're battling cancer, and you're finding that it's can be helpful in what way?
Right. Well, Mary, I'm actually a four-year cancer survivor, so my battle is done, but my radiation treatment, I had radiation to my abdomen, and it caused significant damage to my intestines, which I had to have a vast majority of those actually removed. So I had a lot of stomach symptoms as a result of that. And I'll just be kind of open and say kind of, you know, chronic diarrhea, chronic digestion, chronic nausea, and all of the medications, including painkillers. And I was on 260 milligrams of morphine when I was in the hospital. None of that actually worked for me. When I was discharged, it was a friend of mine that said, you know, Lori, why don't you just try marijuana? And I thought, well, I haven't eaten in a month. I have absolutely nothing to lose. So I tried it. And it, you know, Murray, really, within 5 minutes, I knew I had found a medication that worked for me. So I had to be a little persistent in getting some support from the physicians. I definitely, this was back a few years ago when the federal government kind of regulated the program that way. And ever since then, I mean, without it, I've gained weight. I manage all of my symptoms. I have support. I'm very open with my family, with my work, with, you know, I have all of that support and everything else. I've tried to come off of it at times and go on to different forms of medication to manage nausea, and nothing's ever been effective. So what I've been told is because of the inflammation, chronic inflammation, that's not Crohn's or colitis or anything like that, there isn't really a medication targeted to treat my specific condition. And that's it. Marijuana just seems to manage every symptom that I have.
All right. Now, I understand there are different strains. Some can, you know, have therapeutic qualities with less effect on your mental impairment and so forth. I mean, if you smoke marijuana, are you stoned?
I've been a user for coming up 4 years now. So I don't find, definitely when I first got into the program, I really struggled with getting stoned, and I don't like getting stoned. I don't like feeling like I'm not productive during the day. So, I'm also a nurse, and my experience is even taking narcotics for pain management, there's that groggy stoned period you go through as your body adjusts to the dosage and the medication. Now I've learned to regulate my use better. I also don't smoke it probably because I have the ability to ingest or find other ways of using the product and getting the benefits without having to get high off.
Okay.
So, but there was for sure a lot of trial and error. And I think if there was more research into that, some of that trial and error could be eliminated a little. I know for myself, some strains will simply exacerbate my condition and my symptoms. So I know that I need to avoid, you know, indicas and sativas, stuff like that, you know. But that's come with experience. I wish I could say that this strain is good for this, but really I just tell people you just kind of have to play with it a little bit. Yeah. So hopefully some of these big pharma companies will be able to bring in some of that information for us.
Well, Laurie, thank you for sharing your story. Stay on the line, won't you, please? Just like to get a bit more information. But Laurie is a nurse and a cancer survivor who says it's had a beneficial effect for her. One of the challenges is what works for one person may or may not work for another. My understanding from the stories I've seen from the states are that they have, you know, you go into these dispensaries now or even the recreational ones and it's this one works for this and this, and you take this for that and so on and so forth. And they do seem to have a lot of this figured out. Interesting perspective. So she thinks having big business involved would be beneficial. Does it make you more or less confident about the prospect of legalization or decriminalization happening successfully in Canada? 1-877-332-8255. I'm Murray Wood, and for John Gormley, this is News Talk 650 CKOM 980 CJME. And I know some of you are finding an interesting connection between a guy who used to work for a chocolate bar company who is now heading up a marijuana derivative company, Golden Leaf Holdings. It's the largest publicly traded marijuana company in Canada, even though it's based out of Oregon. They went on the exchange in Canada because they see opportunities if the federal government moves ahead with legalization. They're also going on to the New York exchange in about a week or so because in the states, they have eight more states on the ballot this fall, including California and Florida. And my guest said, Don Robinson said that there's a lot of opportunity. This is a massive growth industry and they're in on the ground floor. And he's quite open that they may be something that goes into a takeover mode as this becomes more acceptable. I'm curious, the question I'm putting to you. Big business is poised to move into the legal marijuana market. It already is doing so in the States. Does this make you feel more or less confident about a prospect of it happening in Canada? More or less confident about it happening in Canada? I mean, you may say it makes you more confident because, as the last caller, somebody who's battled cancer, who's a nurse, who uses marijuana says, think it would be easier because the companies would be doing research to find the correct strains for what it is that you're looking for, whether it's medicinal or recreational. But you may say it makes you less confident because you may feel if big business is allowed to run marijuana, it's going to have inordinate influence on things like government when it comes to regulations. Phone lines are open to you, 1-877-332-8255, text 306-306. All right, many texts on this. There was a kid in the States that had hundreds of seizures per week and a man who specializes in low to no THC, the active chemical products. The kid took one gummy bear candy made from cannabis per day and he hasn't had a seizure since. There's these anecdotal stories. And I mentioned to the previous caller, there was a really interesting article in National Geographic last year about weed, whether it was the medical miracle or not. And some of the interesting applications, the research that's being done to prove it. The argument in the past has been, well, there's no research to prove it. Of course, up until months ago, it was illegal to do research of marijuana in the U.S., which was kind of an impediment to learning. But Israel has led the way on this, and some other countries are taking the lead. So there is research being done. We're getting some answers. We're also, from a social point of view, getting a chance to have a petri dish take place in places like Colorado, Washington, and Oregon, where they've moved to legalize, and we can observe whether there are problems. This person says, are you serious, Murray? Of course big business can get weed legalized. Only big business can afford to pay off the right politicians to make it happen. It isn't the problem with society and politicians bury the issues with photo sessions. Okay, that one sort of rambles off. I'm not sure where it's going. Ray in Regina says, Colorado pot sales, half goes to producers, half goes to homeless shelters and food banks. I thought it was going to education in Colorado, but Ray could be correct. Let's see. Todd in Regina says, best thing that the guest said, Don Robinson, was we need to lower the price to take out the blanket market aspect, which is a smart business model. Another Howard in Regina says, the government should be in total control of production and distribution. Legalization is a necessary evil, says Howard, but corporatizing it will create a focus on profit and promotion. Just look at alcohol and tobacco. Blair also says, I'm against big business taking over the weed industry. They have screwed Joe Public around for decades, and we don't need the greed hounds running this. Let's go to Les in Saskatoon. Big business eyeing marijuana. Do you think that's a good idea or make you nervous?
I think it's okay, but my concern is simply this, is that how is that going to affect the street trade? I mean, we've had basically... I'm just going to broadly see bikers looking after that trade for a long time, and how is that going to impact them and their perception of legalization? So just a thought.
Well, I guess I would ask the same question. What happened when we ended prohibition on alcohol?
Yeah, people will do what they want to do, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a sense, Les, that this creates fertile ground for criminals when we create a black market.
Yeah, it does, but so far I don't think the police have been able to get a real good grasp on how to, you know, get people into jail from driving. They don't have a lot of, their hands are tied in a lot of areas.
Yeah, I hear the music, we're going to have to go. So thanks for that, Les. I mean, the challenge, the question I always have there is, people are smoking marijuana right now, right? I mean, we don't assume that if it's legal tomorrow, everybody's going to go, I think I'll go smoke marijuana. I think the people who are doing it will probably continue to do it, but we'll have the chance to tax it, regulate it. At any rate, it's going to be interesting to watch the experience south of the border and see what happens here. I'm Murray Wood, and for John Gormley, this is News Talk 980 CJME 650 CKOM.